from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, liberal bias in classrooms on campuses throughout the University of California. Students there are receiving a biased and compromised education from activist professors with political agendas which are affecting the quality of their education. So argues a new report released by the privately funded National Association of Scholars. And we'll discuss the report and what it views as the politicization of higher education. That's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Leftist partisan bias resulting in a diminished quality of teaching and research. That's one of the main conclusions about the University of California in a recently released report addressed to the UC Regents and prepared by the privately funded California Association of Scholars. In this forum hour, we want to discuss a report, A Crisis of Competence, The Corrupting Influence of Political Activism in the University of California. And joining us from Washington, D.C. is Peter Berkowitz, Tad and Diane Toby Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, a member of the National Association of Scholars Board of Directors. He recently wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal about the report. And welcome, Peter Berkowitz.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. Thank you. Robert Powell is also with us this morning. He's in Mendoza, Argentina. He's vice chair of the University of California Academic Senate, a faculty representative to the University of California Board of Regents, and a professor of chemical engineering and materials science and professor of food science and technology. And Robert Powell, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. Peter Berkowitz, let me begin with you, if I may. I guess the title really essentially says it all, that we have seen or are seeing, according to this report, a crisis of competence because of political activism, because of social agendas of professors and too much ideology in the classroom?
That's right. That's what the report documents in about 80 pages. In fact, it includes a report of the UCLA which shows that something like almost 60% of classroom professors now believe that it's important in the classroom to promote social advocacy, to promote a social agenda.
And that's 60% across the board at UCLA, sciences and humanities?
I believe it's for humanities and social sciences.
Because there would seem to be perhaps a division, or does a report...
Yes, I think that's right. I think your qualification is right. I think this is for humanities and social sciences. I'd have to go back and check.
But in the report, it talks, for example, about English departments with no Shakespeare requirement and political science departments with no American politics. How much is this widespread and how much of it is perhaps anecdotal?
I think it's quite widespread. The report studied, it's true, the UC system. But if you look at, for example, elite political science departments, Princeton, Stanford University, they don't require their majors to study the authoritative interpretation of the Constitution, namely the Federalist Papers. It's really not at all unusual across departments, even for political science majors, not to be required to study the fundamentals of American politics.
So the report is saying essentially departments are often erasing the study of Western tradition and having a curriculum that's promoting political agenda.
Well, erasing may be too strong. Most of these departments offer courses that allow you to study, say, the Federalist, most. But what they do is through their curriculum, they send the message to the students that such, in my opinion, such essential readings are not actually essential to a well-rounded education, say, in American politics. So it makes it available, makes such study available, but by not requiring it, sends an unwritten message about its importance.
And the thesis of the report is also that there has been a steady decline in the quality of education coinciding with this transformation of curriculum.
Well, yes, and that's, again, that's well documented. Listeners can look at pages 60 through 5 of the report. See a number of reports that document this. Perhaps the most important is a book called Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses, which was published by the University of Chicago Press a year ago. And it documents a very steep decline in students' ability to make reasoned arguments in written work, to understand serious books, and so on. And yes, this coincides with the increasingly severe tilt, leftward leaning of the faculty over the last 10 or 15 years.
And if you are so inclined, you can read this report on our website. Simply go to kqed.org/forum and click on this show. And Robert Powell, Professor Powell, this is not a well-documented report as you see it?
Well, I certainly think there are some areas where the documentation is not very good. For example, there are some areas where they call out student comments. And if I sort of make a back-of-the-envelope calculation, on an annual basis, students, undergraduates in the University of California probably take more than 1.5 million courses. And to sort of focus on 15 or 20 comments made by individual students and extrapolate from that, I think, is not a rigorous approach to identifying a problem.
So it's too sweeping because tens of thousands of courses are offered each year?
Right. Tens of thousands of courses are being, and students are taking those courses, of course.
And your other concern with this report has to do with what? Just the lack of empirical research in general, or what?
Well, I would say that there are a couple of broad statements that are made that I think really would beg for some kind of analysis of how it actually works in the UC, not an analysis, but a recognition of how it works in the UC system. For example, I think there's an implication about the way faculty are chosen. In fact, there's a strong implication about the way faculty are chosen and that departments can self-replicate an ideology, and that's simply not the case. I've been at the UC for 28 years. I've been involved with many, many cases of faculty hiring over the years, served on a lot of committees outside of the department, in my own department, which involve people from humanities and social sciences, and I'm well acquainted with people in those areas. I can't say I'm well acquainted with the curriculum issues, and I've never heard the kinds of claims that are being made about ideology being some sort of litmus test for faculty. I've never heard of this being done. And in fact, if you look at the way faculty are hired and given tenure in the University of California, it's not simply a departmental decision. This is a decision that involves faculty from within the same college and also from outside the college. At the time of tenure, and that decision is made at UC Davis, which I know very well, that faculty member will receive, the dossier of that faculty member will receive a read by somebody very likely in a medical school. So it isn't simply inside people in one department making the decision.
But you're in chemical engineering and also a professor of material science and food and science technology, and we heard that there may be a split between the sciences, your area of expertise, and the humanities. Is it perhaps possible that there's a lot more of this going on, the sort of ideological concern in the humanities than there is in the sciences?
Well, I've had a number of campus-wide positions at Davis. I've currently got the system-wide position, but I have a number of campus-wide positions where I dealt with many people outside of engineering, and particularly in areas like the languages and actually specifically in history at Davis. And I've never heard these issues as explicitly as claimed in this document being brought up.
Well, you're also a member of the Regents, and there's a pretty serious charge here that this kind of ideology, and in fact there's allegations of suppression of speech, is against Article 9, Section 9 of the state constitution and in violation of the state constitution.
Well, again, I think we would have to see a report that relies more on documentation than this does, but to you know, pick up a call like that. But I would say, though, going back to another claim that's being made, that the predecessors of the current generation of faculty were doing a better job, I think we also have to recognize that those predecessors had a much richer support system in terms of the way the state was supporting higher education. It had smaller classes. It also had a richer TA mix, so the students got not just more time with individual faculty, but also more time with teaching assistants.
Would it seem to you, Professor Powell, that there are more perhaps either liberal or radical professors now than, say, there were a couple decades ago or even a decade ago?
Well, I can say, so I grew up literally in the late 60s. I went to college in the late 60s, early 70s. And, I mean, this is a student talking from that era. It seemed to me that people were a lot more radical at that time than today. I mean, that's certainly my perception as a student. But in terms of what I see at UC Davis right now, I don't see this widespread, well, let's put it this way, a radical leftist approach, which I think is what's claimed here. I don't know that, anyway, that's probably where I should leave it.
Well, it is what's claimed here, and be interested in hearing what you who are listening have to say about this. In fact, you may want to weigh in here, and if you do, by all means, feel free to do that now. I'm going to give out our toll-free number and invite your calls, and there are a lot of questions here. You think UC has become more radicalized? You think the curriculum has suffered as a result of that? And you think that the classes in the UC system or wherever you are going to school are influenced by political perspective? Even grades are decided or mated out on the basis of political perspective and teachers being too biased. There's a lot in this report that suggests a great deal along those lines, and you may want to talk about that, especially if you're a student. We'll hear from some students later on in the hour, but let's hear from you now. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Again, that's toll-free, 866-733-6786. There are a number of other ways that you can bring your thoughts to bear here or bring questions or comments. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have on our website, which is kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page. And again, Robert Powell is with us, Vice Chair of the University of California Academic Senate and a faculty representative to the University of California Board of Regents. He's with us from Mendoza, Argentina. And he is a professor of chemical engineering and material science and a professor of food science and technology at the University of California. Peter Berkowitz, Ted and Diane Toby, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution and a member of the National Association of Scholars Board of Directors who released the study. And he, that is Dr. Berkowitz, wrote a piece on this in the Wall Street Journal about the report. And Peter Berkowitz, let me go back to you because, as I said, this report was tendered to the Board of Regents and it has very serious charges in it. And I'm looking at the California State Constitution that says the university shall be entirely independent of all political or sectarian influence and kept free therefrom. And since the report says, in effect, that it's not doing that, what should the regents be taking under advisement here?
Well, it seems to me the regents can take a number of immediate steps. One, they can proclaim that they recognize there's a problem. And I should say that in response to some of Professor Powell's comments, though unfortunately I missed some because I was disconnected, a very casual survey of course offerings in political science departments, literature departments at almost any of the UC systems will show plenty of courses where in which prejudge the matter or in which political aims are proudly proclaimed. For example, the UCLA Law School, the Critical Race Studies program at the UCLA Law School proclaims that social transformation, advocating social transformation, is part of its mission. I mean, this is not some stray student comment. This is the UCLA Law School. So, in regard to what the Board of Regents can do, it seems to me it can publish a statement that we recognize that there's an issue out there and that we're going to investigate it. It can reaffirm both its educational obligation, but also its legal obligation to ensure that classrooms are free of political advocacy. It can undertake its own investigation. If it's got questions with, in my judgment, the very reasonable questions that the California Association of Scholars report has released, it should undertake its own investigation, see what it comes up with. In general, it should recognize that it's got a problem, and it should investigate that problem and reaffirm its commitment to classroom experiences, which are devoted to the marketplace of ideas, which are devoted to examining all sides of the question, rather championing progressive forms of political advocacy.
Well, Professor Powell, do we need to depoliticize the university? Do we need to renew liberal education and the conviction that the marketplace of ideas is here? Or are things moving ahead pretty well as you see it?
Well, we have I think we have a faculty who, over the last 3 to 5 years, in the wake of the budget crisis in UC, have rethought the curriculum in a very fundamental way. UCLA, in fact, has been one of the leaders in doing this and making it the curriculum, I think, more focused and more more efficient. I don't see this, you know, beyond that. I don't see, I mean, going to depoliticize university, I don't see the political, an ostensible political nature of it. From my observations at UC Davis over many years and what I see at the system-wide academic senate.
Do you also perhaps want to comment on something else that the report points out? It says that deans and administrators are enablers and are apologists and are protectors, in effect, of many radical professors who are, again, trying to proselytize.
Well, okay. So
I mean, does that just seem too sweeping on the face of it, or does it seem to have any currency effect?
Well, so there is a claim that I think relates to that. I think you are making a fairly sweeping statement. Let me come to what I hope you would agree is a subset of that, which is that.
By the way, this is not my statement. I'm trying to paraphrase what's in the report. Yeah.
Right. Well, student complaints never result in any administrative actions. And I really have to take issue with that in many levels. I was a department chair at Davis for 9 years, and I can absolutely assure anyone that when student comments are made, and first of all, they're taken into account whenever we do merit and promotion actions for faculty, and secondly, I was personally involved in working through our academic personnel manual with a particular faculty member who had very serious complaints by the students. And eventually, over a period of about a year and a half, we convinced that individual that it would be in that individual's interest to retire. So I really think that, you know, to make these statements that student comments, it's just untrue. It's absolutely untrue.
And again, Peter Berkowitz, Robert Powell was pointing out that, for example, the report has just a few anecdotal-sounding comments from students. We'll hear from some students here, and I'm sure we'll hear from some callers. But in other words, the kind of sweeping generalizations about deans and administrators seem to be really, from the perspective of those who work in the university, unfair.
Well, I don't think so. First of all, it's a wild misrepresentation to suggest that the essence of the report rests upon a few student statements. There are a few student statements quoted over the course of this 80-page report, but the report, as I've already said, draws upon numerous national studies. I urge your listeners again to go to, and Professor Powell, to consult pages 60 through 65 of the report on national studies about the decline of education. There's several national reports and reports that focus on California about the heavy leftward tilt of the university, UFC system.
Dr. Berkowitz, I need to ask you a direct question because there's a lot of data in the report about how many Democrats or self-professed Democrats are in universities, especially in the UC system, as opposed to Republicans. Does that necessarily conform to radicalization or ideology be a member of the Democratic Party?
It certainly does not, and it shouldn't. Now, it's true, as you just said, the report shows that at Berkeley, for example, for every four Republicans in the every four Democrats in the professional schools, there's one Republican. In the social sciences, for every 20 or 21 Democrats, there's one Republican. So, by no means, it's quite possible for a registered Democrat, for an open progressive, to teach a balanced class. What you also find, though, and I already cited the study, is that increasingly such faculty who wildly outnumber the conservative faculty, proclaim as their aim in classrooms, in their scholarship, in course descriptions, that their aim is to politically advocate. And so in those circumstances, it becomes very important to have alternative voices on campus, which are missing.
You would concede, perhaps, Professor Powell, that there are those kind of professors in the university?
Well, I'm sure there are faculty who have points of view. I don't know to what extent they're putting this and embedding it in all of their coursework, but certainly people do have points of view.
Well, certainly our listeners do. In fact, I thought perhaps we'd hear from some of them. Let me begin with you, Keith. You're on. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on. My question actually had to do with the very point you're talking about, that there are a lot more Democrats and Republicans in these social sciences. I'm actually a scientist biologist myself, so I haven't seen that myself directly. But I'm wondering what your guests might say to the idea that Democrats would be more likely to want to become a history professor than a Republican. It just seems like a teaching profession is something that would attract somebody of a left-leaning bent more than somebody who's a Republican who might, this is maybe a stereotype, but be more inclined to want to go into business.
Well, let me ask Professor Powell. I mean, the divide here, the numbers here are apparently pretty accurate in terms of the numbers of Democrats. Do you think that affects the teaching, or to what extent perhaps do you think it might affect the teaching?
Well, I think you're going to, Peter, I think that a Democrat can teach an excellent course in American history, just as I think a Republican can teach an excellent course in American history.
And do, I must tell you, from experience.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So I don't see that as the issue. I do think that, going back to what the caller asked, I think I would flip it around. I think that perhaps, and I don't mean to really to stereotype anyone, but if I were a really outstanding, say, history major or a political science major, and I perhaps had a more conservative and business bent at the time of graduation, I may opt for being a lawyer or going into an MBA program rather than getting a PhD in political science or a PhD in history. It would seem to me to make more sense. Again, I don't want to stereotype anything here. I'm sorry if it appears that way, but it just strikes me that there may be a little bit of an exclusion going on here.
Well, Robert Paul, I know you have to leave, and I thank you for joining us. Robert Paul, again with us from Mendoza, Argentina. He's vice chair of the University of California Academic Senate and a faculty representative of the University of California Board of Regents. We're going to have Jeffrey Mayer, who pretty much sees things along similar lines to Professor Paul, joining us after the break. Let's try to get another caller in here, though. And, Harry, that's you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yes. So I only wanted to say two things. One of them was, I'm a recent graduate from UC Berkeley, and I graduated with a degree in political science in 2010. And up until the point till I was a student, American politics actually was a requirement to graduate from the department. Now, perhaps that may have changed now because of the budget shortfalls from Sacramento. And secondly, the author of the report did point out that there are course descriptions where faculty are advocating a certain position. That may be true for a person, faculty named, you know, Robert Reich, who may have a certain, you know, political bias. But we also have professors in the Haas School, you know, like Tom Campbell, who ran for California Senate.
As a Republican, and we've come to the break here. We'll continue with this discussion. We'll continue hearing from more of you. Stay tuned. We're talking about students at University of California receiving a biased and compromised education from activist professors. That's in a new report by the privately funded California Association of Scholars. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about a report that was recently released by the California Association of Scholars to the UC Board of Regents, and the report essentially talks about the politicization of higher education, particularly in reference to students at the University of California, and argues that they are receiving a biased and compromised education from activist professors with ideological agendas, social justice, or politicization, or what you will. Peter Berkowitz is with us from Washington. He's at the Hoover Institution and is also a member of the National Association of Scholars Board of Directors, and wrote an opinion piece on on the report in the Wall Street Journal. You can actually read the report by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply go to the link there. We spoke earlier with Robert Pahl from the University of California's Academic Senate, who serves as a faculty representative to the University Board of Regents and is professor of chemical engineering and materials science and food science and technology. And Jeffrey Mayer is joining us for the second half hour. He's associate professor and director of Master of Public Policy program at George Mason University. And forgive me, that's Jeremy Mayer. And he co-authored a book called Closed Minds, Politics and Ideology in American Universities. And Professor Mayer, good to have you here. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
Actually, I'm curious about the title of your book because this report reminds me of Alan Bloom's The Closing of the American Mind. It's a lot of the similar arguments. I don't know if you know that one.
We were referencing in our title, but ours is a question mark, closed mind. So we're asking the question. We're not starting with the idea that the American mind has closed.
No, I understand you're on the other side. And why do you think this report should be opposed, or why do you not find it credible?
Well, there are some very good points raised in this report that I read, and they do have some specific anecdotes of egregious conduct by UC professors and deans that I think do deserve the attention of regents. But where I have a problem with the report is not only are some of the anecdotes afactual, but there's a terrible error embedded throughout the report, which is the report's really about two things. It's about declining the quality of college education and then about politicization on campus. And they make no empirical claim or link, there's no credible link between those two things.
And Peter Berkowitz, a comment from you on that?
Well, I don't think that's quite right. The empirical studies aren't out, but they make a strong analytical link. So we know that the decline in students' knowledge of American history, Western civilization, capacity to write well, has occurred over the last 10 or 15 years. And we have empirical studies that show that rise of this leftward tilt, along with a rise in faculty's willingness to openly proclaim that the purpose of the classroom is to promote a certain political ideology or political goals. And what the authors of the report show is that the spirit and the purpose of political advocacy on one hand is absolutely antithetical to the spirit and purpose of education on the other. The political advocate wishes to win, wishes to accomplish practical objectives. To do that, he or she has to close off forms of inquiry, whereas the professor in the classroom wants a fair discussion of all sides of the question. The professor is not seeking a result. The professor is seeking disciplined thinking. These are two antithetical modes.
Would entertain the fact that correlation does not equal causation. I think Dr. Berkowitz has just illustrated a decline in the quality of education in American higher institutions because all his report shows is that these two things have happened, and I have problems with his politicization claims. But certainly any scholar that looked at this in a serious fashion would say, hey, we have schools that are doing this, and then out there we have schools that aren't doing this, because certainly Dr. Berkowitz admits there are schools that are not politicized in that way. There are right-wing schools, or there are schools that he would think of as not politicized. We'll study those students and find out if during this 10 to 15-year period there has been a similar decline or there hasn't. It is then you would start to build some evidence for your political claims.
Well, let me go to some of our listeners' responses. I wanted to bring these into the mix here. Here's Melissa, who writes us from Washington, D.C., and says, think of it this way. Almost all universities all over the world have a liberal slant. It's their nature because of the way they're funded, and generally people that go on to further their education until a Ph.D. are generally liberal. There's nothing wrong with it as long as they are teaching open-mindedness and also critical thinking, which is what we are supposed to do in universities. And a listener named David writes, whatever the findings, I wonder if the trivial is not being pointed out. Suppose there is a liberal bias. One might argue, on the other hand, that such a bias is a bias toward the truth, which is at least the ideal objective of higher learning. On the other hand, I'm not surprised there is a bias, whatever the label. As a graduate student and now a college faculty member, I have found a neglect of curriculum in favor of ideology that hardly serves the student so much as it strokes a department's mindset or that of its members. And that's someone on the faculty over at City College. And here's a web comment from listener who writes, my son is a student at Cal State East Bay, and he is experiencing profound political bias in his professors that has diminished the quality of the teaching. Last quarter, for example, he took a class in California politics from a teacher who was obviously a socialist. Neither he nor I really objected to the teacher's bias, but we objected that he made no attempt to offer opposing points of view and use his teaching materials propaganda instead of academic materials. For example, he gave the class articles pointing out that Bank of America in 2009 paid no income taxes, but never pointed out to the class that it was because the corporate income tax is a tax on profits, and B of A lost billions of dollars that year. It was a lost opportunity to discuss tax policy critically in order to make a political point not supported by the facts. Let's bring a couple of students, UC students, into this. Sean Lewis is a political science major and a junior at UC Berkeley. He's Bay Area Regional Chair of the California College Republicans and President of the Berkeley College Republicans. Welcome, Sean Lewis.
Thanks for inviting me.
Glad to have you here. Also glad to have Vashili Lumba, who is a molecular and cell biology major and senior at UC Berkeley and president of the Associated Students of University of California. And welcome, Vashili Lumba.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And let me say your name right. It's Vashali. Let me start with you. What's your reaction to this report as a student? Do you find some merit to it, or do you find that they're really off base?
You know, so this is an argument that's been made against Berkeley countless times before. And I think it's sort of a subjective criticism to say that, to criticize professors for being biased. Every person has an opinion and is inherently biased, and their views are shaped on their experiences. And I think that in my experience, at least as a student at Cal, I've been taught open-mindedness. And if anything, through my 4 years here, I have become more open-minded and more inquisitive. And I think it's made me a better citizen and a more actively engaged citizen. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Does that conform, Sean Lewis, with your experience at Cal? Also the sense of, well, each teacher is subjective and has their individual bias, but they do teach open-mindedness?
Well, understand, I mean, UC Berkeley was by far my first choice to go to when I graduated high school as a conservative, because I looked forward to different ideas and exploring philosophy, ideology. But I think when I read this report, I mean, I think the idea that college campuses have some kind of left-leaning bias, I think we're beyond that point. I think we kind of can see that as kind of a reality. But the issues raised in this report are, is that liberal bias growing rapidly, or is it leading to important, is it leading to academic retribution or academic punishment for your viewpoints? And so, I mean, personally, my experience, at least at Berkeley, I really have not experienced academic punishment, to be honest, at least in the political science and history courses I've taken. I've found a lot of respect from faculty. At least personally, I'm very open with my views and in my arguments, but I think there's a respect for intellectual debate in the classroom. However, I think a rising issue on our campuses that I've seen at Berkeley is more the political climate or the cultural climate on campus. When you have not just the majority of liberal faculty, but this report points out, I guess, a 30-to-1 faculty ratio of liberal to conservative professors. And when you get to that number, you got to wonder what the cultural implications are in the classroom and faculty and professional staff on campus. And so at least at Berkeley, that's all I can speak for, really, personally. I do see this, and it transcends not just the classroom and the professors, but our faculty members, our chancellor, who takes political initiative to send out messages to our campus on political opinions and take sides on issues. I think that is a problem. I think that's a threat to our education, and it is diminishing the quality of our education.
Well, I much appreciate your point of view, Sean Lewis, as well as the point of view we heard from Vashali Lumba, and thank you both for joining us on Forum. Again, Sean Lewis is a political science major and a junior at UC Berkeley Bay Area Regional Chair of the California College Republicans and president of the Berkeley College Republicans, and Vashali Lumba is a molecular and cell biology major, senior at UC Berkeley and president of the Associated Students of the University of California, ASUC. Let me bring more of our callers on here and find out what you all have to say. Maxine from Newport Beach, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I graduated from UC Irvine in the early 80s with a bachelor's in economics and a master's in business. And it seems to me that since that time, with the advent, really, of the Reagan administration, that the politics in the United States has really shifted to the right. And it's altogether possible, in my opinion, that the colleges or universities appear more liberal because mainstream America, with evangelicals, leading the charge has gone to the right. So it's all a matter of relativity and your perspective.
All right. I thank you for those comments. Actually, I think Professor Jeremy Mayer, again, who's with us by phone this morning from George Mason University, it's your sense that maybe there are as many radicals as liberals now as there always have been.
Well, there has been an uptick in the number of people of the left in college faculty since the 60s, but it has not been dramatic. And for one thing, this report quotes research that the own researchers have withdrawn, the Rothman study that they cite. When we did our study, in fact, we saw that it was a rise among natural scientists. So the previous caller who talked about the change in the issues makes a very good point. It used to be that natural scientists tended to be a little more Republican than other faculty members. That's changed some. Why has that changed? Well, one political party has leading figures who advocate the teaching of creationism, who say that evolution isn't true. When you do that, that's a direct insult to scientists, and they respond. Now, this is good politics for the Republicans because they're far more evangelicals than there are people with PhDs in science. But the fact that it will have consequences for the Republicans in college campuses is just a fact.
Well, here's a listener, I think, who, Jordan, you say this has been going on for quite some time from your perspective, huh?
Yes, that's correct. I went to UC Santa Cruz, graduated in 1986. I had multiple friends in the Department of Education there that were students who were advised by faculty members to shut up, not to put their positions forward, or they would not graduate. I also wanted to make a couple other real quick comments. Dr. Paulson's caricature of conservatives as, well, they'd be interested in business. If that's not a stereotype, I don't know what is. And finally, in any other...
I just want to correct you. It's Powell, not Paulson. Yeah.
Robert, I'm sorry, Paul.
Yeah, who
I'm
was
sorry,
with us the first half hour. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then the final point that I would make is that any other population where the population is generally divided 50-50 in the general population, where you have a representation of 20-1, we would say there was bias there. If we would say that there are 20 men for every woman in a department, we would say there was bias. If we said there were 20 whites for one African-American, we'd say they're biased. So why does not that apply for Republicans versus Democrats?
Let me ask Jeremy. I think that's a question I'd like to throw to Jeremy Mayer. Professor Mayer?
Well, there are a lot of studies that look at why we have this difference in the percent of Democrats and Republicans, and 20-1 is certainly not what we've found. It's more like 5-1. There are several of the reasons glossed over in the report, I think, are quite compelling. For example, when farmers vote for people that give them subsidies, we don't go, gosh, that's bias. So higher education for the last 30 years has stopped being a bipartisan funding initiative. It used to be in the era of Nelson Rockefeller that you could say Republicans and Democrats are equally in favor of higher education. But whether you're at a private university or particularly at a public university, if a Republican governor gets into office, that can mean no pay raises for 4 years. That concentrates the mind of faculty in a way that I'm stunned that this report doesn't even mention.
How about that, Peter Berkowitz?
This is nonsense. Conservatives have been writing about the importance of higher education in an eloquent and incisive way since before Ellen Bloom's Closing of the American Mind in 1987. Many conservatives want to go in business. There are plenty of progressives who want to go into business. What happens is when students are undergraduates, they learn very quickly in their classrooms that, by the way, I'm delighted to hear that the Berkeley undergraduate conservatives opinions are treated well, but time and again in classrooms, conservative students are taught that their opinions are not welcome. Moreover, if you look in the curriculum throughout the nation, especially in our elite universities, it's impossible to study conservative ideas. You can't study Edmund Burke. You can't study Hayek. You can't study Milton Friedman.
And
it's
that
not
is
available.
I studied all of that at Georgetown, and last time I checked, is a leading university. You can study that at Brown. And for another thing, you didn't answer the question. The question was, why does this report not even look at the fact that in California, when a Republican gets into office, faculty members have legitimate reason to think they will not see a raise? Why would a fair and balanced report not even mention the pocketbook reason for the bias you're studying?
Well, forgive me, Professor Mayberg, it may not even have to do with faculty raises, just the fact that there is Republican opposition across the board to any higher taxes, which obviously affects education as well. And is this something that maybe should have been provided in the report or the study, Peter Berkowitz?
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's an essential point. I don't think it begins to explain why. By the way, the number 1 to 20 is for Berkeley social science schools. Social science department. It doesn't begin to explain this this lack of representation, and it doesn't begin to deal with the John Stuart Mill problem, which is this: when the other side is not well and effectively and vigorously represented, it's bound to happen, says Mill. By the way, I understand this is not a scientifically demonstrated proposition. Nevertheless, as Mill rightly pointed out, if there's no serious opposition in a department or a university to one side of the question, that side of the question will grow inflexible and will grow radicalized.
We should mention that this is from John Stuart Mill's Essay on Liberty,
published. That's right. His 1859 classic. And Mill, who is himself a man of the left, himself a progressive, emphasized that every healthy society needs healthy representation of left-wing views and healthy representation of conservative views. So therefore, the entire debate about where the skewing came from, in a way, is irrelevant. The point is that the university should recognize that it is sorely in need of some kind of balance in order that both progressive ideas and conservative ideas get a fair hearing.
Now, let me give a personal example here, because as many of my listeners know, I'm an academic. And by the way, that quote of Mill's, "He who knows only his own side of the case knows little of that." I'm just remembering and interested to hear, Professor Mayer, what you have to say about this. When I was a young teaching assistant at the University of Wisconsin, studying for my PhD and teaching English composition, I had a student who wrote a very favorable essay about the former Senator Joseph McCarthy, and it was well argued, and I felt that the reason behind migrating it was to grade it on its support and how clear his thinking was and all of that, how lucid he was and how well supported his arguments were. But I remember telling some of my fellow teaching assistants that was my criterion, and they were appalled. You know, how can you even be disposed toward being fair toward somebody who's writing something favorable about Senator Joe McCarthy? I think there is a kind of ideal here that a lot of academics like to believe we're pretty much representing fairness, and fairness based on clear thinking and good critical thinking. And sometimes that can be a thin line in terms of someone's politics, obviously, no?
These are very difficult questions, because what if that paper had been advocating Holocaust denial? You know, do you have to be fair between the truth and a lie? So I think grading is one of the hardest things that professors do to try and be fair. I was a college Republican at Brown University, and I turned in a paper on tobacco policy that took a libertarian perspective, and the graduate student gave me a C. And the professor had to intervene. I didn't say anything, but even before I got the grade, he came in and gave me a B+ or an A, because there was so much bias in what the grad student did. We hope that professors don't bring their politics into their grading, but at a certain point, there is a factual need to correct error.
I'm looking at some listener response here. Actually, this is from someone. Peter Berkowitz says, "Please remind Dr. Berkowitz that the political science department at UC Davis is so left-wing that it offered him a job a few years ago that he declined." if you wanted to comment on that.
The point is never that that conservatives are not represented. And by the way, when I was offered that job in 1999, it's very interesting point. I had written probably not more than 2 or 3 published pages on politics and in liberal magazines, for that matter. It's actually a sign of the politicized academy that anybody would have concluded in 1999, based on a book I wrote on the history of political philosophy, Nietzsche, that I might have been a conservative. That's actually what's striking. That's another example of how politicized the university is.
I think they just concluded that from your current activities, and they were pointing out that UC Davis was open to hiring you. I think if you think that anecdote confirms that there's a politicized academy, then you see it everywhere, which I see in this report. Everything is blamed on that. In fact, this report even blames the decline in foreign students getting PhDs in America over the last 10 years on the politicization of the academy, rather than even considering that it's the visa changes since 9/11. So I mean, as a work of social science, this report is really crappy.
Wait a minute. The report does not purport to be a work of social science. So I just have one direct question. Do you deny that there is significant politicization in the university world? Do you deny that?
By politicization, I do believe that many of the anecdotes that you marshal...
two elements. One element is that there's a significant skew among faculty to the left, and second, that there's a strong tendency among faculty today to use the classroom for political advocacy. Do you deny those two propositions?
I do not deny the first. The data supports that. It is back to the earliest empirical studies of faculty, even in the 30s, that faculty tend towards the left. It's for different reasons at different time periods. For example, in the 50s, it was because faculty were way off the charts in opposing racial segregation. Today, I think one of the big drivers is that faculty, even conservative faculty in our study, are very, very pro-gay rights. So if one party attacks gays, they lose a lot of professors. The second point I do challenge. I don't think that is a widespread problem in higher education that faculty members abuse their platform in the classroom to teach a biased world to young minds. I don't see evidence also of an effect. I don't think America has become more left-wing since these professors took over and teach Marxism.
All right, I want to go to actually some listener emails here. Here's Ryan from UC Berkeley who writes, the discussion of activist academics strikes me as antiquated. There is a hefty body of literature, note Haraway Winner, that has established a strong case for the inevitability of perspective and the value of taking a stance. To suggest that academia is or could be outside of the influence of opinion is naive. Some of the most celebrated and deservedly so faculty members of politics at UC Berkeley, including Robert Reich and Laura Nader, do indeed have opinions. Their work relies on their critical capacities. Their perspectives are what make them great. A listener writes, nowhere is the politicization of academia at UC and UCS universities more pronounced than in the departments of Middle Eastern studies, where the pro-Palestinian and anti-Israeli politics pervade the curriculum. Students who do not agree with the professor's political stance do not feel free to express themselves, nor does anyone get a perspective that would allow them to develop a capacity for critical thinking in this area. And another listener, Diane, says, as soon as I heard the topic on forum today, I immediately remembered the very recent erroneous comments by Rick Santorum claiming, with great outrage, that students in the UC system were not being taught American history. Interesting that this report is just out as well. Feels like another concerted and connected attack on California by those with a right-wing bias. And perhaps apropos of that, Peter Berkowitz, a listener named Barbara, asks, please ask Dr. Berkowitz, who funded this report? I mean, the name of individuals who provided the funding, because it smells like a witch hunt to me.
I don't know how it could possibly be a witch hunt. It's published openly. The arguments are presented there. People are being invited to challenge it.
She's asking who the funder is.
It's openly announced. This is the
what's openly announced is privately funded.
The California Association of Scholars is a division of the National Association of Scholars, which is an outfit that has been in existence for more than a decade, today located in Princeton, New Jersey. You can go to their website, and you can inquire about their funding the way you would about any private.
The central donors are listed on the website.
I haven't visited the website recently. But I presume it's like any other private organization. Why is this? I don't understand the curiosity here.
Well, let me go to some...
I don't understand the oddity. People are free to be curious. I don't understand the oddity.
Let me bring Eileen on from Daly City. Eileen, thanks for waiting. Join us, please.
Hey, Michael. I'm actually a recent graduate in precisely, I think, one of the programs I believe you're discussing is World Literature and Cultural Studies. It's the long name, but it's a literature program at UC Santa Cruz. And I don't know the report, but I just want to talk a little bit about my experience as a student, particularly the assertions about, like, what courses are available to students. My program happened to focus on work outside of the Western canon, works which I consider much more relevant to me and to my life today. And I had works from the canon constantly referenced in all of my classes, and I could have focused my major more on those works if I had chosen that for myself. As I say, I really loved my education, particularly because of my professors, and I do think we had a lot of political discussions in class, but I felt like that made our classes more relevant. I feel like now, as a working professional, I feel that I'm able to draw a lot more on the classes which I had. That's my comment.
You for that perspective, yeah. Eileen. Good to hear from you, and I wanted to read something from Michael in Oakland who says, I laughed out loud when I read Deborah Saunders, who quoted from the study purportedly showing leftist bias of UC professors, quote, students often report that all they must do to get a good grade is regurgitate what their activist professors believe. In my senior year at Cal, I took a political science course called Soviet Foreign Policy. Throughout the semester, I chafed at what I perceived to be the professor's very conservative bias. It was a small class, and I never lost an opportunity to challenge statements I disagreed with. He never lost an opportunity to tell me how much smarter he was than I and how misled I was by my leftist leanings. Since I was about to graduate, I wanted the best GPA I could get, so I decided in the final exam merely to parrot back the answers I knew he wanted, none of which I truly believed. Not only did I ace the final, but under that A, the prof wrote excellent reasoning in the year 1965. I guess perhaps one can at least deduce from this, Peter Berkowitz, that it may come from both sides?
Of course it may come from both sides. Who would deny that? And therefore, I return to the recommendation I made early on in the show. In response to this report, even my colleague on the from George Mason has recognized it raises serious issues. The UC Board of Regents should undertake an investigation. It should, if there's no bias, it has no problem, reaffirm its commitment to a non-political classroom, a classroom devoted to the examination of various viewpoints. And to quote another figure, the left-wing university should not be replaced by a right-wing university.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there because we're at the end of the hour here, but I want to extend thanks to Peter Berkowitz and also to Jeremy Mayer and Robert Powell and Sean Lewis and Shali Lumba, and to you, our listeners, of course. You can continue making your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment and continue the discussion. Thanks to you, our listeners. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell and Tina Lauberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, who believe all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.